And so this is just one of these examples. I think that, you know, in discussions with the client, I think they said that the assessor had, in their discussions, had thrown out a number of $500 an acre for water parcels. I think that's, I don't know if that's the right number at this time. We'd really need to see if we can put our hands on any sales. But if you were to put $500 an acre on it, that'd be $11,100 versus the $1,035,125. So that's kind of the first example. Is any questions or?
What was it assessed at before?
I don't have that, Matt. Do you have the?
I think it was 160 an acre. Yeah, and I moved it to 500. The other counties that have water or land underwater are at 600 to 650. So we're below the other counties with the same circumstance.
But on this case, the value is at $46,627 per acre on this example.
I assume that's got to be a mistake of some sort.
Probably.
All right. Well, let me ask a general question here. With respect to the values that you put on all of these 100 and some odd properties, is there a percentage, or is it that, in other words, do you have a formula which you used to try to formulate an opinion of value on, say, the properties that are underwater? Or, in other words, do you, in order to narrow this down, if you're trying to get this, this board up here to do this, I'm trying to get a grasp on.
We've talked about this idea, and here's the dilemma with the short amount of time frame and so many parcels.
Right.
Is when we filed the BOE appeals, we just put in last year's number as a proposed value, just as a placeholder, because we knew we needed to get the appeals on file. There's a timing deadline. Since we hired the Dyan firm, they looked at some of these and right away convinced us that most of these parcels were overvalued even 2 years ago for some of the same reasons. So what I would propose is, I know, how long can the board stay open until the 31st?
End of July.
End of July. We're halfway through July. What I would propose is allowing us to talk about some of these examples. They have not done full appraisals on any of these parcels, but just they know enough to kind of get a sense for what these things are worth, that within a period of time, we can produce to the board a spreadsheet of what we think the values are, and for each of the parcels, all 139, what we think they are, based on these concepts that we're talking about.
Right. And just in general, I think, you know, there are, you know, some going up, some going down, some staying the same, but, you know, we've only just started looking at the actual, you know, the values.
And that's a good point. I think there's even an example in here. Maybe that there are a few examples where they were actually assessed too low, meaning that we put last year's value in there as a placeholder. We started looking at it and realizing that actually it should be assessed more. And since it's on appeal, the board can do that. The board can raise the value and lower it.
Sure.
And so we're not trying to be greedy. We want to get it right, is the point. There are some parcels that we think could even stand to be raised. But I think if you look at them as a whole, what we're seeing is as a group,
it's all going to come down.
But I also, I guess, want to get to the point of, are these truly commercial properties, or are they agriculture? What is the right classification?
Yeah, that's a big factor.
Well, you guys can talk about that another
time.
But it sure matters. But as far as
sure,
I mean, you're wanting more time right now, and we have basically what we'd have to do. Well, with what we've got, we'd have to cut back that Monday, the 31st, in order to potentially do that, unless we.
And well, I think guys are talking about putting together a spreadsheet for us to look at.
So the goal here is to get to the right value, and I realize we have a short amount of time. If the board would entertain it, we would be able, I mean, those guys would be working pretty hard, but we would be able to come up with a more precise proposed value for all 139 parcels, more than what's on the appeal form, because the appeal form is just last year's number, and that was just a placeholder. But I think we would need a little time to do that. And I realize we absolutely, they've been working around the clock even to get ready to be able to do this.
Well,
so it's going to take.
I think that I understand what your request is. Let me do this. As you know, and all these we let you guys talk, and then I want to let the assessor have a few words. If we're talking about coming back potentially, I mean, do you want to say anything to that?
Whatever you guys want to do.
I understand your books are closed, and it's up to, okay, if you're fine with that, with us doing that.
My one question, though, on the flood plains and stuff, don't you guys kind of control that? Don't you guys, aren't you the ones who flood the plains?
We have no control. We're, especially ever since Table Rock went in, we're, for in layman's terms, what we are is we're a bathtub. We can only generate when Table Rock is releasing, so that's curtailed us. A few years back, the state of Arkansas, Bull Shoals was allowed to increase its height, which backed up more, which lowered our height, and the less height we've got, the less we're going to generate. And so we lost some of that. As far as the flooding around the lake, what makes it even more difficult for us now, especially in these last few years, and you've got the pictures there, I think 2017 was our last big one. It's not just the dam that we operate. You've got that whole watershed that comes down, all the tributaries that come in. So that adds to, and then when Table Rock started getting full and they had to release to us, that was coming. Bull Shoals backed all the way up. There's nothing we can do. It's over our dam.
And most of the water flow, that's water that's released from Table Rock, correct? Which you don't have any control
over. We are not a raising and lowering of the lake generating facility. We generate when Table Rock runs at us so that the lake doesn't go down so far, because we want to maintain it for the recreational purposes and the fishing and all of, and the natural and the ecosystem and everything. So we're not raising and lowering the lake on a daily basis. To generate, we have to. The Table Rock will notify us when they're going to release, and we use that flow and that to calculate when we can generate.
And when you use the words "we" right now, you're not talking about the Corps.
No, I'm talking about Empire. We as Empire. Yes, the Corps has to.
Because the things that you're talking about also seem to be, I think, the supposed to be the vision of the Corps. In other words, public use, those kinds of things. Because when you say "we," you kind of sound like you're bound by everything that the Corps is bound by.
Well, the recreational, that comes under our FERC license.
Okay.
So that's within our license of our responsibility under that for the recreational, the scenic, the environmental part of the lake. Corps is its own unique entity. They don't operate under FERC.
Matt, I'm going to help you generate some fees here. I don't want every single thing that is restricting your property, but I would like some. You're dealing with a lawyer, real estate agent, and a banker up here. Mm-hmm. I would like to see the things you're talking about as far as those restrictions, because when we are talking about property, I mean, our duty up here is to value property, and if you've got restrictions that prohibit these properties from being used somehow, I mean, there may have been some generosity involved in just letting certain people use it for public, you know, I understand that. Mm-hmm. But I would like to see, I mean, you've given me this.
I can put something together. If we're going to
just something like, I would like to know what kind of restrictions are on these properties, because it sounds like you have obviously everything from underwater property to some potentially pretty valuable property. And the other big question I think we had is, why in the heck do you guys, why do you have this property? Why do you need it?
We asked the same question.
Exactly.
Okay.
We don't, but what happened is when FERC became kind of a lot more into its own hydropower governmental agency out of the Federal Power Project, Power Authority, back in the 30s.
Okay, in the 30s, when they got these properties, were they were needed for the project at that time?
It really didn't. It was, but it wasn't looked at in the way it is today. And so in 92, the new license came in, and they said, draw your boundary, actual FERC boundary.
Okay.
And we aren't the only utility. I go to shoreline conferences once a year, And this happened to a lot of utilities because FERC was just standing up, and a lot of them, a lot of us now are going through relicensing. So it was those first licenses under that. And basically, everybody looked and they said, what do you own? What have you got flowage rights to? What do you own? That became the boundary. Even though in the regs it specifically states only maintain those projects within the boundary that you need to operate the project. That kind of got looked over. And so now that's what we're dealing with. Otherwise, some of those properties wouldn't be in the boundary.
So I have a question on that.
Yes, ma'am.
You said, you mentioned that the only time that you can pull is when the water is up, correct?
When Table Rock releases. The only time we can generate is when Table Rock is running at us.
So when you have water on your land, that's when it's the most valuable. Is that correct?
As far as generating the electricity.
Yes. Okay. I want to make sure I understood
when
that correctly.
Flowing, yeah, okay. When Table Rock is flowing at us, that's our fuel. That's what we power the generator.
So being underwater is not the detriment because you're using the water that is on top of the land as your power source, correct?
Well, right. In other words, it may flood that piece of property. It may be dry depending on, I guess, whether you're up or down at the time. Well, as far as the properties go, though, it's my understanding that from a valuation standpoint that you all want some time to look at this. I mean, between now and you're asking for as much as we can give you.
Well, we can talk about that, and it was just an idea that we had because, and I would like if we got, I think we're booked until I don't know what your time is today, but I'd like to be able to have Mr. Dining kind of go through the things that he's going to talk about are unrelated to FERC at all.
Okay.
FERC out the window. He's just talking about, look at this property utility, pretend FERC doesn't even exist, look how it's assessed versus comparables and things like that. So that's what he's going to talk about. The FERC aspect is just a layer. Like, think of it this way. Without FERC, the properties should be, the assessment should be reduced significantly. And then the X factor is, what does FERC do to it? Does it make it, like, worth next to nothing? I don't think we're not asking for that. Right. Yeah. We're not going to come in here and say we want it to be valued at zero. But there are some parcels that are probably worth nothing, if you want to be honest. But that's not where we're going. But the point is as we were kind of doing this, it's just a huge project to get. But we want the board to make a decision that you know, we don't want to have to appeal. That's kind of the goal.
And I understand.
We just are not in a position to tell you at this moment like what each parcel is worth. We can give you a high-level view of some of the issues. If we had additional time, again, Taylor's going to want to shoot me when we walk out the door because it's going to put him under the gun to put together a spreadsheet. But if you're inclined to consider that, we'd like an opportunity to send you a spreadsheet that has values based on some of the concepts he's talking about.
I mean, I think it's our duty to try. I know that the easy thing would be to just say, well, you're not ready, go to the Tax Commission. And provide it to them. But I mean, if you have something for us to consider, and I'm only one board member, but I mean, that's my thought. If you want to provide us something, I mean, we're happy to take a look at it. I mean, this is obviously, when you talk about unique, it's also unique to us, mm-hmm. as far, and I think unique to the assessment,
right.
As well. So we'll try. But we need to give you some time, it sounds like. And if you're going to come up and let's go ahead and get these other properties talked about.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. So that was just one example. The next parcel that ends in 11000, that is the Empire Park. That's right down here below Forsyth here. And, you know, this is one that's it's a combination of different types of property here. We have a portion that's in the lake, that's water. We have a portion that's floodplain, and so that's the land that's covered with the blue shading. And then there is a little sliver that's just some ground that's out of the floodplain on that. And what we tried to do is we tried to, you know, it's not an exact science with, you know, trying to use the GIS tool, but we tried to measure, you know, here's about what the water area is, here's about what the floodplain